What is your job at LIPA, may I ask?
What's my job?
Yeah.
Well, many things, I suppose. I work in the music department here at LIPA and deal with all the professional practice and sort of, which is more career-focused activities, I suppose. Teaching students how to apply their learning in a real-life context.
Wow, okay, so you're kind of...
Whatever that means.
So you're basically a mentor then.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, that's an element of it. And also dealing with their creativity, I suppose, over a period of time and help them with the development of the things that it is to create, that they're creating, and to the point where it becomes sort of realised in some respects of it being viable, because we all have creative endeavours, but they're not necessarily always successful.
Yeah. Now, do you have a musical background yourself?
Yeah. I'm not necessarily from academia. I'm more from the music industry side of things. I used to be in a Liverpool band called The Farm, and still am.
I've heard of you guys.
Yeah. We played the States quite a lot in the past.
Nice.
And it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Many moons ago.
Now you still do that, right?
Like. Yeah. Still playing a band. Yeah. Nice. Still playing a band. Still do different stuff. And we're gigging over the next few weeks in the UK, doing a lot of acoustic gigs. So, you know, we still go out and play. People still obviously want to hear what we do. And as long as they do, I suppose it's fun for us to go out and do it because we're mates, I suppose. Yeah.
Now what do you think of the bands that are in LIPA or that were in the Tube Extra this year?
I think there's been some fantastic bands on the show this year. You know, I mean, the beauty of it is I've watched them grow and develop over the last 3 years. I've watched them develop into the bands that they are now. You know, over the last 3 years, and I'm assisted in being part of that development. So I suppose as a university, what we're doing here is very, very different to what most of universities or academic centres of knowledge do, whereas we decided some time to go to get involved in the artistic and product development of what they do, you know. So it's why they're here at LIPA, rather than start trying to do that when you leave university, you're doing it while you're here.
Nice.
And so there's some fantastic bands which have been on Tube Extra. I really enjoyed it this year, you know.
Yeah, you know what I liked about it too was how varied they are. They're not clones of each other, and that actually tends to happen in a school situation. You start to get, you know, cloned versions of the same type of music. Yeah. And that was not that does not seem like the case with LIPA or with Tube Extra.
Well, I mean, I suppose that is, you know, as I said, what we do in the course is it's about creating a culture. So we try to create a culture within the course. So you've got little bits of everything in there. When we audition people and bring them on, it's not just about being the most amazing musician, even though you do need amazing musicians. It's more, you know, you need creative types. You need the odd person there who's probably not so... what you would say would conform to the norms of what you think of as being normal. We like to sort of pick different types of characters as well that will fit into the culture that we're trying to create. So you, within that, you then you bring in a lot of different types of musical sort of influences to that, and it becomes a bit of a melting pot. And it's interesting for us then to see what comes out of that. You know, and that's probably why you get such that is so diverse, is because we, as a music course, we positively encourage that, really, that diversity, you know, and people to try different stuff out rather than just follow a format, you know.
Yeah. Now, Martin said that it's the qualifications on getting into LIPA are pretty hard. What exactly do you look for, you know, to accept a student?
Lots of different things. Obviously, there's criteria in relationship to, you know, there's prerequisites, if you like, in terms of what they need in terms of musical qualifications and various other stuff. But it is looking really for rough diamonds, really, that you can polish, I suppose. It's looking for someone that's got, like, that element of creativity, that sort of ability that you think, you know, this person will work for the course and what they, and more importantly as well, what they can actually bring to it themselves with their own sort of musical ability, you know. It's like, you know, you know, sometimes it could, a person can be a multi-instrumentalist and playing, you know, really, really well on an instrument that we don't normally have, you know, and we can sort of look at it from that point of view as well. But it's largely down to, you know, what they can offer from a creative point of view, as well as what they can offer from a musical experience and knowledge and a theoretical knowledge as well.
Now, have you ever had any situations where somebody has auditioned to be in a school, they weren't quite there yet, but you could see where, like, in a year or two they could be, and then they've come back?
Yeah. We have that quite a lot. I mean, there's some students that will apply and come and do an audition, and they don't get in. Sometimes they get offered the foundation course, and they'll take the offer up for the foundation course, which is a year, really, where they can brush up on certain things. There are other students who have applied 2-3 times and then gotten in on the second or third time because they've gone out and got there and got that experience that we and that knowledge that we feel they need, you know.
Now, what exactly does the foundation course brush up on? Is it like a preparation for the class, or?
Yeah, I mean, the foundation course is a standalone thing in itself. I mean, you could go and do a year on that foundation course and move on to, you know, lots of different things. You know, it does get them sort of ready to a certain extent and to a certain degree. You know, they could move on to another course, or so it is a standalone thing in itself, but it also prepares them for what we would expect them to be at a particular level for a degree, you know.
Nice. Now, Liverpool Institute of Performing Arts, or LIPA, as it's called, has been around for many, many, many years, and it's pretty well respected and well known. Who are some of the more famous alumni that's come through those doors?
You may well know Dan Kroll at the moment in the States, because he seems to be doing quite well in America. The Wombats, they seem to be doing well in the States at the moment, you know. Sandy Tom, I think she did really, really well over there. And we have, as well as having sort of people in bands and things, we have a real strength in people like out there that are just writers at the moment. We've got, you know, a young lady, a graduate called Carolyn Aylin, who might not be as popular or as known as anyone else, but she's out in LA, I think, at the moment, writing with all kinds of songwriters, writers for other people. So in terms of success, I'm being shouted at in the office by someone saying she's had number ones. And apparently she's had number ones because she writes for people. So we, as well as producing bands and artists, I mean, because we have a real diverse bunch of students for every sort of area that they're going into. There's someone who's working in those areas who's really successful, like Ollie Mears, who you probably know over in the States. The brass section for Ollie Mears, they are a brass section from LIPA. You know, and them boys have been with them from day one, because I can remember them doing the audition to get the job when they were in their last year in LIPA, you know, and coming in and going, they're only offering us this much money, what do you think? I'm like, take the job. Once you make yourself invaluable, then you can then ask for what you want. So in terms of even session musician through to writer, through to people that work in different areas in the industry, we have quite a broad sort of school of musicians that are successful that go beyond the sort of artists that may well be more known from in a public perspective, you know.
Now let's take it the opposite direction. Who in the current class, or who in the current group, do you think, like, you just see to yourself, man, that person's got it?
There's probably about four. It'd be difficult for me to say because it sounds like a main sort of favoritism. But you know, there's several bands and sort of artists coming out of the current group at the moment that are already signed and are going to be doing well. You know, there's Frances. She's sort of seems to be getting tipped for her doing well within the next, you know, year or so. You know, she's signed to Capitol Records at the moment. There's Wycliffe, who've just got an independent deal and very, very much a sort of indie type rock band. You know, there's Breakfast Monkeys, who are doing exception. They're exceptionally well, a bit of a real mismatch of music that's coming out with them. And then there's a lot of all of the other pop stuff as well that's coming out that are sort of being picked up at the moment. We are having a tendency at the moment that we're, as we're as in our last year. You know, you can anywhere from maybe 5 to 10 artists that are being picked up by management companies, publishers, or rocket record labels. And normally, like, what I'll say to them is, while they're on the course, you know, actually doing your, a lot of your development here for 3 years is great, but you'll probably have another 3 to 4 years outside of here actually making it work and making it some sustainable and making a sustainable income from what you do. Well, we prepare them for that. That's part of what we're doing with them.
So you do show them the business side of everything too, then?
Yeah, we cover all of that while they're here.
Oh, wow. Now, what aspects do you do? Do you show them, like, how to prepare for later years, like retirement, and how to save money and stuff like that? Or
yeah, we do sort of go through those type of things with them. I mean, being a musician myself, I know all about that. You know, I never ever had a problem earning money. I always had a problem keeping hold of the stuff.
yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
As we all do. Mm-hmm. And you know, we go through all of that whole concept and idea of the business side of things, preparing. I suppose in a way as well, you know, we're not just teaching students to for the music industry now. We're trying to get them to be able to survive as artists and musicians in an industry that will exist in 5 years' time, you know.
And it's good to hear you say that, because that is like the one complaint I hear over and over and over again is the financial side of it. I'm, you know, sorry to say, because most artists in the world would like to make enough to sustain themselves so that they can do this full time.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's a difficult thing to achieve.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Exactly. Now, do you also cover the legal aspect of it, like contracts?
We do all the contracting, we do all the legal side of things, we do all the, the different types of contracting. We do something called professional development, where we go through all of that business side of things, because effectively we are operating as a business. You know, once you have a consequence of what you may do, it means that you will earn money, and as a consequence of earning money, it means that you have to pay tax, and it means that you have to deal with all of those day-to-day issues. And we positively encourage our students to become involved in whatever aspect of industry, because basically you're better off. I mean, most musicians are going to spend a significant amount of their time doing other stuff in those first initial years than actually playing music, and so we encourage our students really to go work within the industry as well whilst they're doing that, because you're better placed when you're working within the industry as opposed to working behind a bar. You know, so we sort of teach our students to diversify as well, to be able to apply their skills in many, many different ways.
And that also helps with networking too, because then they get to meet people that are already in the business.
Well, we've got music students who came here as writers, you know, 17 years ago, and left then 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that are now working in the A&R department in Island Records in the UK. Or Universal, and we've got music, and they're students that actually wanted to be songwriters, and you know, and then they're fortunate enough they're actually doing A&R now, you know. And you couldn't be, if you're actually as a songwriter and you're looking to pitch songs to people, you couldn't be better placed than working in a record label or a publishing company. So we have musicians who come here to do music that now are working within the industry in that context. We've got, you know, there's several. There's a girl called Sophie Humphreys who works as A&R at Ireland, you know, and there's very, very other students that are doing the same thing, you know.
Exactly. And it seems to me that there comes a point in a musician's career or an artist's career that the bigger they get, there's a point where they just have to retain an attorney.
They have to what, sorry?
Oh, retain an attorney.
Yeah. You mean get a lawyer?
Get a lawyer. Because I mean,
that's what we call it.
Exactly. Well, I mean, do you cover that part that you're at some point you're going to need legal coverage or legal insurance or?
Well, yeah. Because it's a natural part of life. Contracting. We go through contracting, and we bring lawyers in from the industry. I mean, one of our regular visitors is a UK lawyer called Anne Harrison. She's got a book out. She's put a book together on the industry called the music, the business, you know, which is a popular book amongst most universities and academics and the industry itself. And she's a lawyer that works professionally within the industry, and so we bring those types of lawyers in, you know, and those people in to actually bolster up what it is we're actually teaching them. So they'll come in and do master classes. We have master classes here every Friday with someone either from the industry from all over the industry, you know, who'll come in and deliver a masterclass for us every Friday to the music students. So that really supports a lot of what we're doing anyway, you know.
Now, how does a student or a potential student?
I mean, we had Mark Ronson in not so long back to do a masterclass. You did? So yeah, we have all those types of people. We have Paul McCartney in doing masterclasses.
Wow! Yes. Now, how does a prospective student apply to be in LIPA?
It's the same as any other university, the same similar application process. You have to sort of obviously complete the UCAS forms or the international forms if you're coming from abroad. Basically, complete a form and forward us with a couple of songs. You know, we normally want to listen to your work, have a look at what qualifications you have, and then we'll give you an audition and we just go from there, really.
Nice. Now, what do you guys have coming up with the Tube Extra? I mean, how are you planning to expand it? Because this year seemed, I told Alexandra this year seemed very professional. It looked broadcast. I mean, it looked like something on MTV.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's taken us about 3 or 4 years to get that point. We've been developing the whole concept and idea, which is built into the course, the Tube. It's about performance elements of what we do. It's taken us about 3 or 4 years to get to that point, you know, building the infrastructure and getting that right in here. We're very, very fortunate that we have every discipline other than broadcast and media and video under the same roof, really. So really, it's the students that are running it, and the students been here for a couple of years now developing them. We're learning that and learning those particular skills. We don't teach broadcast, we don't teach video, so we sort of just took it upon ourselves to teach ourselves to do it, and we've had the students teaching themselves to do it as well, you know. So what's next is obviously I feel we achieved a real high standard, a real high level this year. So there's other things that we're going to be looking at, trying to develop and trying to improve upon for next year. It's, we can always get it better, you know, we can always get it a lot more interesting, we can always get it from an audience point of view better, you know. So it's obviously the next step here is to start trying to increase the online audience as well, and maybe open it up to the public. We don't know yet. We might well do it as a free festival with a limited amount of tickets. There's lots of different ideas that we're throwing around at the moment, you know, as well as we may well bring some of the bands back from the past as well. We're looking at that in terms of bands that are out there at the moment that really excel, successful. Maybe we'll bring some of them in for next year.
Well, you guys really outdid yourself. I mean, I was shocked, actually. I was totally impressed. I actually did think that until you just debunked it, that you guys had a broadcasting and multimedia department.
No. We taught ourselves how to do it. But, you know, we're dealing with a lot of students here who are, you know, exceptionally talented, but they've got a passion for it. And I think sometimes when you have that, I think you can do a lot. You can go a long way. It's a hell of a thing to manage, but we're very fortunate, as I said, is that, you know, we have our own sound department, we have our own TPT department, where the kids that were doing all the camera work. We have our own management department. We have our own, obviously, a music department. The presenters that were on the show were from the acting department, you know. And so and the managers that we sit there and do all the scripting with them and stuff like that. So, and we spend quite a bit of time pulling it and putting it together, you know. And it's taken us a bit of time to build the infrastructure as well to get all that right, you know. And so we're fortunate that we've got a lot of the skills all under the one building. So it's a totally sort of student run event. All of the students are doing all the work on that show. So when you're watching that show, it's a student that's holding the camera,
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I, like I always say, if it looks like you spent $1 million on it, then, yeah. then that's what you guys did. I mean, it,
yeah, looked, fantastic.
It looked expensive. And I mean, that's a compliment for an,
that
for
really is
an
a
event.
Compliment, yeah.
You know,
yeah, that
it,
really is.
It looked like a ton of money was spent on that, on those events. It really did. And the sound,
you'd be surprised at the budget. It certainly wasn't anywhere near that.
Wow. Well, and the sound, what the sound was just spot on.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we've did, we're fortunate as well because in the venue, because of the way they built the building, the sound, we've got studios in the building and we've got routing, we can route right from the PMA, which is the Paul McCartney auditorium, into the studios. So the sound is actually being mixed in a studio, you know, which is fantastic. You know, the only thing we don't have is a studio in this. We have to rebuild and restructure one of the classrooms and put there a lot of cabling out one of the windows and in through another window into a classroom so as we can actually vision mix it, you know. So it's a bit of an undertaking, but yeah, I mean, we've built up the infrastructure over a couple of years. We've built up the knowledge, the know-how, and the students are really enthusiastic about it. It's a project that a lot of departments assess their students on every year, you know. And we're blessed with a lot of talent as well, really, I suppose. I don't include myself in that.
Well, you should. I mean, if I were you, I would take credit for half of that stuff because it was great.
Yeah, cheers, man.
Because I mean, but you know, one thing that really impressed me that I don't think a lot of people notice, but I always do because I'm just kind of anal that way, is that in multi-band events or multi-act events, if you notice, after the first band's mixed perfect and then the second band sucks because they're still mixed for the first band, you guys didn't have that.
Well, again, there's things that we've learned from previous years. Now, I've done a lot of live work over the years of obviously being in a band and stuff, and I've done a lot of various shows. Now, what we did was quite a bit of pre-production in that we have a canteen in here where we don't run the normal tube, which is the weekly tube, which turns into a venue. And so what we were doing weeks beforehand is we were putting the sound engineers in the just doing getting them to do pre-production in the canteen here. So you go in that room for the night and you're going to spend two hours learning and working with the band you're going to be mixing on the show. So we put pre-production in like that, whereas we could work those types of things in advance. Also, in previous years, I certainly felt that there was a hell of a lot going on in terms of, because everyone really here is really ambitious, and they used to have these really, last year and the year before, they had massive set changes, and I wanted us to cut down on the set changes this year because basically we were compromising on the sound. And so the focus this year was, it has to look right, right? The content has to be right and the sound has to be right from note one, not 2 days in, or the third band or the second band. And and whoever is working, whatever sound engineer is working with, mixing one particular band, they're going to be working with them bands in advance. So there's a lot of preparation went into it from that perspective, that if we're going to make a compromise, we're going to make a compromise on massive set designs, and we're going to cut them out, and the changes over are going to be quicker, and we're going to be focused on how it looks from the on a screen or a TV screen, and how it looks and how it actually sounds. So I'm pleased that you're saying that, because it means what we implemented worked, you know.
Oh, well, and it was really impressive when you talk about the acts. I mean, the acts were so diverse. I mean, you had a basic four piece, and then you had like what Chanel brought up, you know, and with everything in between. Yeah, it's like she brought everybody in, you know, from down the street.
Well, she's Chanel, Californian girl, you know, she's weird and wonderful and out there, you know. But absolutely produced an absolutely amazing show, you know, and that's something she's been working on and developing for a while, and I think she's really, really found what it is. You know, there's a lot of drama in what she's doing, there's a lot of theatre in what she's doing, and it worked on the night, you know, and I think it's allowing them to move in that, you know. It's like, do you think this will work? And it's like, well, go and try it and see what happens, you know. And so when you actually put that on a screen and on a stage like that, it'll come alive, you know.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, and the mix was consistent through all these types of bands.
Yeah,
you know, that was great.
Yeah, but we've got some good sound engineers here who, I mean, that's all students work at, you know. But that's also about preparation. There's, you know, that is about preparation. preparation, you know, for this type of thing. You have to prepare. I mean, and I think as well as the bands, you know, part of the module that they're on is the bands are out working all year. It's not just a case of they're doing one show. Part of the module is I insist that they're out gigging on a regular basis and that they do a certain amount of shows, because in the learning outcomes for the module, it will be operating as a performer on a professional level. Well, no one wakes up one day and decide, and all of a sudden you become a professional performer. You become a professional performer on a stage over time by working out what works, what doesn't work, the things that even down to the songs that will work at a particular point and anything. So doing that sort of getting out gigging and getting that gigging experience and that performance experience is a major part of the module that the performers are involved with. So that's something that that's my module, so that's something I work with them on, is that development of their themselves as characters and as performers over a period of time. So what you're seeing on the show is the result of a lot of work, really.
Yeah, and like, you know, it's funny that you say that, because my band always used to call, or my old band always used to call gigs paid practices.
That's what they are. Yeah, that's what they are.
And that's what,
you know, you're practicing and developing and refining all the time.
Yep, and that's where you find out who you are as a musician too.
Yeah, because that's where you get
that's where the critique comes in. That's where the compliments and the, you know, and that's where the complaints and everything else in between come in.
Well, there's nothing like walking on a stage and being comfortable in that environment. You know, a lot of bands and musicians will spend a lot of time in the rehearsal room, and it's and then you go out of a rehearsal room and walk onto a stage, and you put yourself in a completely alien environment. The amp that's been at the side of your leg is all of a sudden in a completely different position. The sound's coming from different places, you know, and you're standing on a stage in front of an audience. So all of a sudden, that dynamic and that whole environment has completely changed. So rehearsal is extremely important. There's nothing like doing the actual performances themselves over and over again, because it's a completely different environment to the rehearsal room. Our performance is completely different to the actual concept and idea of rehearsing. So the more of those types of things you do, the more comfortable you become in that environment.
And also, each gig is a goal, because how many times, I mean, I've had this happen a million times. How many times scheduled practices just turn into four or five guys just playing around in the basement?
It's about putting structure into your practicing, isn't it?
Exactly, and having
things that you have to achieve. There's also, you know yourself, you're in a band, there's nothing like a deadline to sort yours all out, you know what I mean? If it's a case of, right, you've got to have this many shows booked in before Christmas, which is what I do with them, they've got things to work towards. And so normally, you know, putting deadlines in there normally sorts all that out. You're either going to fall flat in your face, or it's going to work.
Yeah, and I think the best initial gigs for any artist or any band are, you know, where you're opening up for somebody else who's established, because you get to watch them, and then you get to prove yourself at the same time.
Well, that's about learning from your peers as well, isn't it? You know, that's about learning from watching how someone else has a little bit more experience operates. And sometimes, in a lot of respects, that's, you know, it's learning by doing, isn't it? In a lot of respects, that's sometimes the best way to do it. We especially when bands are developing here, we're positively encouraging them to go out and support people. You know, go out and just do five songs. You know, do get a small support, see how that goes, and build from there.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Now, what is the best advice you, as a member of the farm, and as the jack of all trades over at Lipa, can give to an upcoming artist? What's the best advice you can give to one?
The best advice. I'm not necessarily always good on advice. I suppose the best piece of advice I could give is practice and work hard. Really, you know, practice and work. It's all about hard work, this game, you know, and make sure that your practice is fruitful, in that you're not repeating mistakes, that you're working towards specific goals, and drive it forward in a structured way, as opposed to just sort of thinking it's all of that one gig, it's all about that one moment. It isn't. A career's for life, really. And so it's not the best piece of advice is you know, is look at how your own work ethic, you know.